everybody. Hope you're having a fabulous holiday season. This is the best of Drew and Mike. Hopefully, it's very good. Enough to be best of. I haven't listed anything personally or qualified any of this, but I'm just going to assume the best. Actually, any Drew and Mike show business is the best.
That's right. It sucks.
It looks like we'll be back doing new shows January the 2nd, which is Thursday after the 1st, because we have the weekend, to recover, to come back. We'll need 3 days off after being off this long. We'll need 3 days off, well, Friday, Saturday, and then we'll record on Sunday for Monday, the 6th. Yeah, the 6th. Okay.
I'm, like, busy watching TV.
So enjoy all your bowl games, your holidays, and the best of the Drew and Mike show. And this portion of Best of Programming brought to you by Hull Financial. Here we are in the holiday season, and mortgage interest rates remain as low as they've been at any point this year. Many people might feel that they've missed the boat on refinancing to save some money. The answer is no. Rates remain super low. Although you just don't hear about it as much because we kind of take it for granted after a while. Hull Financial takes special care of the podcast listeners. We all know that. In fact, they close in an average of 19 days. But in early December, 17 of 22 closings closed in 10 days or less. Incredible turn times, immediate results, 1,000 five-star ratings from Hull Financial. So if you're looking for debt consolidation or you got some debt you want to take care of through a refi, taking money out of your house, whatever you want to do, if you want to save money, contact Hull Financial, drewandmike.hullfg, or click the link on our website, fill out the online form. They'll get back to you very quickly. Hull Financial, you won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435.
It's so good.
There's a Walmart employee, a 17-year-old, who quit on the intercom at Walmart and posted it. 17 years old.
Oh, he filmed it?
He filmed it.
Hmm.
And this post was very popular. It was going around, I think it was yesterday.
Why, because he quit?
Or yeah.
Because he written Walmart.
And he also tells us a lot about working at Walmart, which apparently is not the joyride some people may think it is.
I am shocked.
He's punching it in.
Attention all shoppers, associates, and management. I would like to say to all of you today that nobody should work here, ever. Our managers will make promises and never keep them. And not only that, they will preach to us about how they care about their employees. But about a month ago, my boss, assistant manager Cora, called me a waste of time and management did nothing to help.
You proved it right.
Managers will also try and save money every step of the way, including cutting benefits of a part-time or a full-time associate down to part-time, even though he worked 40-plus hours a week. I've been a loyal employee here for over a year and a half, and I'm sick of all the bullshit, bogus write-ups, and my job. Fuck management, fuck this job, and fuck Walmart.
Hey, the crowd liked it.
When did he do this?
What Walmart is that? Can we call? We should call there and ask for Cora. Cora should break her silence. Can you imagine what a story that would be if we got Cora to break her silence on our show?
Didn't he kind of prove?
Does it say the location?
Kind of prove what a dick he is there.
I know it's in Canada. Just a sec.
Oh, future Google employee. You're bound to be down. The Hull Financial Hotline is open as we go in search of Cora, who called an employee, a 17-year-old employee, a waste of time.
This would have been a better quitting speech here.
Scarface quit his job.
Still waiting on that heifer, Julio.
Remember when Scarface quit?
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
He throws a hammer at a guy. From Half Baked. Fuck you, fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. He could have done more production with his. The filming was pretty terrible.
Is this in Denver?
No.
Canada.
Canada.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
This also is reported on CNBC, Fox News.
Was it ahead or below Pete Davidson?
Oh, below.
Thank you for choosing Walmart Canada.
For Cora, plus
store
zero.
Hours, locations, to shop online or to view merchandise availability, please visit our website at www.walmart.ca. Please choose from one of the following options.
Ugh.
For pharmacy, press 1. For electronics, press 2. For food, press 3. For photo, press 4. For vision center, press 5.
Manager?
To speak to a customer service representative, press 0 or stay on the line.
I ain't working here no more.
Johnny Paycheck.
My woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door.
Come to Papa Cora.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working no more.
Oh, well, they're not going to answer the phone ever.
Not if Cora's working.
Good evening, Grand Prix Walmart.
Yes, I'm trying to reach Cora.
Okay, just give me a sec.
Oh, okay, thank you.
He's gonna pay.
Hey, boy. Wow, what's the chance of that? She's working now.
Can't be the first idiots to call and ask for her.
It's possible. It's funny how often we are the first idiots to call someone.
That's true.
Well, this is something a lot of people are probably going to call tomorrow, and we're calling them today.
Yeah, but it happened Friday.
We were chastised back in the Radio Star days for blowing numbers, because we'd call it, and then they would never answer the phone again, like celebrity numbers. Thanks a lot, Drew and Mike. Now, this employee's got to know about the guy quitting, right?
Yes. I don't know. Maybe they don't have internet.
Answer the phone. I'm not so sure she knew.
We don't have good jobs anymore.
I'm not going to be real surprised if she asks who it is. The person answers the phone, comes back.
What was that guy's name? Just use his name.
Jackson?
His name is Jackson?
Yeah.
These will be good paying jobs.
Thanks for holding. Coralie speaking.
Hi, Cora. This is the Drew and Mike show. We're calling about the guy quitting yesterday. He said you called him a waste of time. Cora?
Way to go, Drew and Mike. Way to burn that number.
Wait a second.
We got disconnected. Time to go back.
Cora?
She hung up.
Well, has anyone else reached Cora? Anyone else on the planet? We don't deserve some credit for even getting to say hello.
Call her back. We got disconnected. And that's the kind of customer service they have. Well, maybe I'm starting to agree with Jackson.
Yeah.
We just wanted more information on it.
Well, maybe we can at least get the lowdown from the chick that answered the phone. Who's getting chewed out right now, by the way. Was that, I don't know, what was it? Was it good? Was it good?
What was it?
I don't know what to say. Oh, by the way, I saw a poll on Santa Claus about rebranding Santa.
Yeah.
10% want Santa to be female. 18% want Santa to be gender neutral. 18%.
Good evening, Grand Prix Walmart.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking to Cora, and we were trying to get some information, and we got disconnected. I don't know what happened.
Oh, sorry. Just give me a second.
Okay, well, ma'am, can you help me with some? Her, sir, or what? Can you help me with something?
Yep, sure.
There was a gentleman yesterday who quit his job at work at your Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Cora had called him a waste of time. And I just wanted to get Cora's her side of the story because she has not broken her silence, and it's leading us to believe that she may have said that he was a waste of time, and I felt it was unfair to report this without hearing from Cora.
We want to hear her story. We tend to agree with her.
Just give me a second. I will transfer to her. You can talk to her.
Thank you.
Thanks for absorbing all that.
None of it. None of it got absorbed.
And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.
7% think Santa should have tattoos.
How do they know he doesn't already?
Oh. 3.6% said he should be more hipster. 9% said Santa should have an iPhone.
How do they know he doesn't? Was he have an Android?
I don't know. Good question.
He He's magical. He doesn't need any of that stuff.
I think it was 6% said he should have an electric car.
An electric car?
Well, you know, show he cares about the environment.
But he's got a...
Oh, what?
He's got a reindeer-powered sled. That's more efficient.
I don't think our girlfriend carried the mail very well on that one.
Maybe she carried it too well.
I don't know. I don't think she really knew what happened there.
She knew what that dude think Cora's put. In trouble?
No, she's still working. She's working today.
Then why not make comment on it?
There's a chance to break her silence. So I'm leaning towards Cora calling him a waste of time.
Do you want to try calling Count David Wimp?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know how far in we are.
It's a bit of a stretch, but I think it's a good stretch.
I don't think it's a stretch at all.
I think he'll be interested to talk because when we talked to him last time, Count David Wimp is a guy that was counting to, what was he counting to by ones?
Was it just counting up?
Yeah, I don't think he had a set goal.
But he had reached, he'd gone over a million, hadn't he?
A couple times.
Yeah, didn't he go back down and back up?
On his calculator.
Yeah.
And Count David Wimp, I forgot, why did he do that? Just because?
He's a weirdo.
So we called him. He was in wireless flash. He was available for interviews. It wasn't like we were piling into the guy. He was put on as an interview subject. I think there was more to the story than him counting by one on his calculator to a million. Was something about him personally, but I don't remember what it was. So he was such a popular interview that we called him back, and usually it's about counting.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about calling him for the recount in Florida, mm-hmm. see if he could get involved.
Remember, he's playing a lot of handheld games right now. He's playing a lot of lottery games and like Yahtzee. That's the shit he loves.
He is?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He's got to be... he's about as big a numbers freak as there is. He'd be the Hawking of math, yeah. I would say, or of addition, not math. I don't think he does a lot of algebra or trig. Not sure. Maybe we'd find out. But anyway, when we talked to him last time, he revealed that his favorite TV show was
Bull, which was a new show at the time. It does like 15, 16 million, yet he's the only person I know that has ever seen it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it was a big show.
And somebody's been booted off the cast?
Yeah, the main star is Michael Weatherly.
He was from NCIS prior to that.
Oh, okay. And he allegedly had jokes and rape jokes and an invitation to join him in a threesome aimed at Eliza Dushku, who was very pretty. We had
really
her in
hot.
Studio. She was.
She got abused by Les Moonves too.
Yes, and she was supposed to be on Bull for a long time, and she left after she called him out for his harassment.
I think that she was booted after she called him out.
Yeah, she was written off the series, so she kind of complained to CBS, and they ended up paying her full salary for the four seasons she was supposed to be on, which
was $9.5 million.
Yes, and now
wait,
all his.
So that wasn't about Les Moonves?
No. No, it's just another fuck up by CBS, is what people are saying.
And it's tied to Les, though, because of how CBS handled that.
Oh, because he got her blown out. Les blew her out. She complains about a dick in her face? Fuck her!
But, you know,
isn't that sort of how it was portrayed? Yes. I get the impression Les Moonves was involved in this thing, but he didn't do the harassment.
No, he did not do the harassment. The star of Bull did.
My takeaway was, they did such a bad job with the outing of Les Moonves that CBS should have been more transparent and, you know, instead of having this secret hush-hush $9.5 million buyout.
Yes, they should in a nice
not
world.
Not to mention 60 Minutes.
But in a real world, Bull is doing well, and he's the star of Bull. 60 Minutes is doing really well, and they like all those producers.
Oh, this guy's the star of
he's
Bull?
He's the star of Bull. He used to be on NCIS. He's a big...
He's the Kevin Spacey of Bull?
He's Bull.
He is Bull.
So how's the show going without him?
Quick show note.
He's still on the show.
You know what Bull's based on? Do you know who Bull, the character, is based on?
Greg the Bull Lozinski?
Nope.
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil McGraw. Because Dr. Phil, before his talk show, used to be a jury consultant.
So wait, so what's the punishment for Bull doing this?
Nothing. CBS just paid her off to go away and stay silent.
How can the guy still be on the show?
Because he's Bull. There's no Bull without Michael Weatherly.
Yeah.
Is there talk about?
No. They paid her her
Can't
full
salary.
Can't
they just
salary.
Call it the Connors and keep it going?
He has since apologized for his inappropriate jokes.
But all his co-stars are from NCIS are standing by him.
What about Friends of Bull?
FOB.
That's a cute name, FOB.
Well, we just figured since David Whipp loves Bull that we should get his take on it.
And now he can count to $9.5 million, every dollar Eliza Dushku got.
Man, I'm intrigued to hear if David Whipp count. You think will Count David Whipp even know about this?
No. I wonder if he still watches.
Oh, he does. Come on.
What's the actor's name?
Michael Weatherly,
okay. There's a TV guy that was trying to hit up on a 13-year-old.
Oh, that was the Disney Channel guy.
Disney guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, Giselle thought he was supposed to be the grandpa in that show, and he's only 48.
I know, that's kind of weird. And he's trying to nail a 13-year-old.
Hello?
Dave? Count? Did he hang up? Pick up and hang up?
Wow. Did Walmart give him the number?
Is Bull starting?
I'm going to try again.
Is there a number getting around?
It's clearly a mistake.
I'm going to try one more time.
What's up with the count? Maybe we interrupted him counting. Which would be distracting as hell.
He just knocked the phone off the receiver.
Angrily.
Because he lost his place.
Swiped at the phone. He just backhanded it. Is this the Bull? Is this the Bull theme?
No, it's just a counting song.
Oh. One, two, three, four. Can I have a little more? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hello, David. Count David Wimp?
What?
Is this Count David Wimp?
Yes.
Count David Wimp, this is the Drew and Mike Show.
Just a minute.
You sound a little pissed. He's pissed about the Bull.
Someone else is there.
Hello?
Yes, Count David, we've had you on our show a few times about your counting.
Yeah.
And the last time we talked to you, you were telling us you were watching the show Bull, which is your favorite TV show.
Watching what?
The television show Bull
on CBS.
Oh yeah.
Did you hear the latest news about the show Bull?
No.
Michael Weatherly, who plays Bull, apparently got in a little bit of trouble.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Mark, you want to explain?
He was making jokes to a co-star that were not very nice, maybe along sexual harassment. So CBS had to pay the co-star $9.5 million for her to be written off the TV show Bull.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Oh!
Yeah, Eliza Dushku was beautiful. Was she any good on the show?
Not bad.
Did you miss her? Were you upset that she was gone?
She played J.P. Nunnally.
Oh, yeah. Ain't that the one Bull fired her?
Yes, that's the one.
I have no idea. After 3 episodes. Just kicked her right out.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Did you wonder why Bull was firing her?
Well, no, not really. It's his job, I guess.
That's right.
So would you say you still support Bull, generally speaking?
Yeah, I used to call him the nosy when he was on NCSI.
Yeah, that's right. He was on NCIS.
But he was always nosy.
I know. Drove me nuts.
Now, that's quite a settlement, though. $9.5 million. Have you ever counted to $9.5
million? No.
What's the highest you've counted by ones?
Probably between 12 million.
Oh, well,
you counted to 12 million.
It's more than.
Well, that's why you're the Count David Wimp.
Yeah.
What number are you currently on right now in your counting? Because don't you start over every once in a while?
No, since I lived here, I'm at 898 million. No, 198 million.
How long did that take?
Oh, I've been here a little over 5 years.
Wow. And that's by ones?
Well, on machines.
Oh.
Now, have you ever thought about counting by twos? Because then you could have gotten to 396 million.
No, never did.
Hey, like a little math humor.
Hey, just thinking out loud here.
You're on a 39.6 million a year average. That's pretty good.
Are you impressed by that?
Now, is Count David Wimp, is that your legal name? Because I heard that you may have possibly gone to court to get it legally changed. Is that true?
If I want to count for, I just put count on the front of it.
Okay. I thought maybe it was a congressional decision or something like that, or maybe a court.
Oh, no. Hell no. I'm not a politician.
Well, okay. I can explain why that wouldn't be necessary. But
are you still up to date on Bull?
Yeah, I don't know if he's on Tuesday or not. On tomorrow or not.
Is Bull your favorite show? Is that, would you consider Bull your favorite show, or is there another show that you consider your favorite?
NCSI.
Okay.
NCIS?
Yeah.
What did you think of that last Bull episode with the priest and the van? And then Bull had to, like, try to get the him to name the guilty party. Did you like that episode?
That wasn't bad.
Oh. No. That mystery
wasn't the best, though, huh?
Not really.
Ooh.
Now, what about, you know, when you're watching? Do you ever watch Jeopardy and count by ones to count the when they win money to count up to the new amount?
No.
Why not?
I watch Jeopardy, but I don't do any counting with that.
What inspires you to count? What is there? Has anything ever happened where you just said, "I've got to count up to that amount"?
When I was in high school.
And what was the event? Just that you were in high school made you want to count to something?
No, the teacher in math class said, why don't you try it with a pencil in your 9 weeks?
I see.
Nobody ever did, but I tried.
How sadistic.
Mm. Now, how are you with multiplication and division?
Well, I use a calculator for that.
Okay. What, did you ever take algebra? I mean, you're so math inclined. I just thought maybe you were into some other things like algebra, geometry, or
maybe algebra in high school.
Okay.
Do you get excited on election night with all the votes that are getting counted? Because they count that one by one.
Yeah, no, I don't get excited with that.
Have you ever participated, like volunteered to help out on a recount?
No.
And then say, hey, everybody, I got this. I'm Count David Wimp.
No.
Oh.
It'd be a good way to get some publicity for you, because honestly, you know, I remember when Count David Wimp was brought to our attention was on, was that Wireless Flash?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was on the Wireless Flash news service, and I'm not reading a lot about you lately, so it seems like you need to get your name out there a little bit more.
No, I lost my wife 6 months ago.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry.
So you're keeping a lower profile?
Well, a little bit.
Are you doing okay?
Oh, yeah. I put balloons up in the sky for her.
Well, that's nice.
Very good.
How many?
6 yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's been
6 months.
6 months.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's sad.
So how long were you married?
About 26 years.
No kidding.
Did she like the counting?
Huh?
Did she like the counting? Did she think that was pretty neat?
Oh, she didn't mind.
Yeah.
Well, David, I'll tell you what. Sorry to hear about the thing with the Bull, but it sounds like the show is going to continue, so it shouldn't affect your viewing, hopefully.
Okay.
But it's nice to check in with you.
Always good to hear from
you. Yeah, and I hope you're doing okay. Sorry to hear about your wife.
Thanks.
All right, you have a good night, David.
Bye.
Count David Wimp, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye, David.
Yo.
He does Melrose hang up, apparently.
1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, that's how Bull does it.
I always learn something. The last time we talked, when we found out he was in Vietnam,
Jesus.
I know, that seems...
He's
that,
an interesting... I'm fascinated by him.
The Vietnam thing seemed incredible to me.
Yeah, he still counted there, too. Pen and paper, while he was a cook.
Now I want to know about his wife.
Yeah. I mean, I never would have guessed that guy would have gone through something emotional talking to him.
I know. I call me crazy. I just didn't really guess that he was married either. But it just goes to show there's someone for everyone.
Yeah. But he seemed as matter of fact about that as he did about Bull.
I know. He's not terribly emotional. I can't find him. I'm Googling him, and there's nothing.
It's hard. There's like one old story when it originally happened.
Oh, from like 92?
Yeah.
It's total bullshit.
Total bullshit. Like the TV show Bull.
An elementary pastime that really adds up. Hobbies for David Wimp. Wimp rises each morning in Riverton, Wyoming.
Yeah. Oh.
And is at his desk in the living room of his mobile home by 7 a.m. Now, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know he had a mobile home.
In front of him is a calculator and with a roll of paper. For the next hour or so, David Wimp counts one number at a time. He began counting in 1982 with the number one. Now I'm at 3,672,428.
1982?
Yes.
But he was in Vietnam, and then he said his high school teacher.
I know.
Yeah.
Got some fake news here.
Busted.
His objective is to count one number at a time all the way to 1,000,000. Wait, 1 billion? That's 1 billion.
Oh, that was his goal, huh?
Well, we definitely got material for the next call. I probably used about 12 calculators, he says. I can get 5,000 numbers on a roll. I got some shell. Oh, that's a lot of paper he's going through.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's right. Christ. He would use the calculators that I used to use during my ACT.
That's right.
Well, he likes the sound, I bet.
Yeah, that's what gets him off.
I've got some shelves in my living room filled with used rolls, more than 200 rolls.
That's not the wife
favorite
like
decor.
Man, I bet you they had some fights over that.
Each morning, Wimp sits up at his desk and picks
I've been counting out. Before I knew you, bitch.
To me, it's an interesting hobby. I've been at this million for 419 days. I'll probably reach 1 billion when I'm 62.
I kind of agree with him. It is fascinating.
Why would anyone want to count up to 1 billion? Well, I got
Why would anybody
started.
Want to count to three Wait. Doing this?
Wait, there's redemption here. Well, I got started in a high school math class about 30 years ago. The math teacher asked us each to count to 1 million in 9 weeks. Nice assignment.
What a lazy math teacher.
Jesus.
For your assignment, I don't know, count to 1 million?
In 9 weeks. I was the one that went the farthest at 25 million with a pencil.
Nice learning,
what?
Nice learning curve.
What?
What do you mean you guys stopped doing it months ago?
Not four, five.
Everybody else stopped and he's still going.
That was a great drop, by the way.
Three.
I even counted when I was in the Army.
Oh, yeah.
He's a cook for 20 years in Germany and Vietnam. Wait, if he was in high school...
I'm so confused.
He's in high school in the 60s.
Yeah.
Wait. I got started in high school math about 30 years ago. This is 1992. It was 1962. That means he's born in like 46. That means he's like 72 years old.
Wow.
Knows the math being done there.
Yeah. Did you count by one?
No.
You don't have nothing on me, motherfucker.
1946 plus one equals 1947 plus one equals 1948 plus one equals 1950 plus one equals 1952 plus one equals 1953.
You need the...
Perhaps in an unstable world where government collapse and reform almost weekly and where the social fabric of just about any human institution is frayed and flapping in the wind, Wimp has discovered a pure and precise mathematical joy. Counting, order, stability. That's a little heavy-handed, isn't it? Really? I mean, is he really escaping a world where the social fabric is coming apart? Or does he just like fucking counting?
He needs to have a Twitter where he just counts by one.
Yes.
Oh, I'm starting one.
I would to follow
start a
him.
Count David
I need
Twitter.
To escape the social fabric. And a world where governments collapse and reform almost weekly.
Talking about Wimp.
What all of us did as kids. You count up to 10, but often you go beyond that into thousands. Wimp has taken counting to the far edge, to borrow a phrase from script writers at Sesame Street. All these wonderful numbers are being brought to you by David Wimp. Oh, who wrote this? My neighbors call me the Count of Riverton.
Oh, boy.
I've been written up in 3 newspapers. I've been on a show called The Best of the Worst.
Man, that's not a compliment.
We need to YouTube him, see if we find some video of The Best of the Worst. They flew me up there and put me up in a hotel. A motel? They put him up in a motel?
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's nicer than my trailer.
A hotel. He's Count David Wimp. He's got a title, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
They gave me a calculator, but it had an ink ribbon on it and doesn't print dark enough for me.
Oh, my God. Now he's high maintenance?
So I'll just stick it in the yard sale next spring and let somebody buy it. Wimp has yet to inform the Guinness Book of World Records he's counting to a billion. All right, nobody else that I know that's counting like I am. I make my own paper roll sometimes out of construction paper or bright paper. What?
Oh,
what?
Boy. Oh, Wimp.
Wimp says he can count the number of marriages he's had in one hand so far. Three?
What? He's a ladies' man?
There's not only a woman for everyone. There's three women for David Wimp.
I bet you he's hung.
Holy shit. Oh, you know he is.
He counts the inches. What? All the way up to nine.
What's the inch?
Now I've got a new girlfriend. She thinks it's pretty neat. She doesn't get involved in the counting. She just watches.
Oh, no, she doesn't. Are you watching? No, honey.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, wait. Not seven.
When summer comes to Riverton, we have a new topic for him. Wimp runs a lawn mowing service?
Yeah.
I mow about seven lawns.
I count them all.
A Walmart store just opened across the street from his mobile. Now I can just walk across the street and get paper rolls for the calculator. I'd say I've used about 20 miles of rolls, but I've lost count. What?
He's lost count. That's got to be a joke.
Should we call the Walmart in Riverton, Wyoming?
Yeah.
I cracked him. Does he make a mistake when he counts? Yeah, I cracked him with a red tip pen.
What?
I don't make many mistakes. Sometimes he turns on the TV while he's counting, and that can be a distraction. Wimp says he approached several calculator manufacturers to see if he'd like him to be a spokesperson.
Oh, man. If you mess up, wouldn't you just think he'd say, ah, fuck it, and just keep counting?
Yeah, no one's going to know, because who is going to audit this?
It's exciting.
Your forensic accountant.
I would love to hear his approach to these several calculator manufacturers. They weren't interested. Does he count sheep to go to sleep? Can't say that I do.
What?
No comments on the story, unfortunately. Oh. It was in the LA Times.
Two. You want three? Let's put four. Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Top 10 amazing yet boring achievements and records? Holy shit.
One, two, three, four, five.
William Schmidt's Tunnel. James John's Newspaper. Robert Coates, Britain's most successful comedian. Well, that's not boring. Theme park.
Yeah.
David Wimp's counting. Number six. Might not expect an owner of a lawn mowing service. Really a lawn mowing. Seven lawns. I mean, doesn't he just mow seven lawns? He's really the owner of a lawn mowing service.
Well, it's seven. That's not bad.
You don't expect the owner of a lawn mowing service. He's afraid to go to New York or Los Angeles because everyone's in a hurry there. And they act for no reason to become a media darling. A media darling?
Boy.
Wimp did something about the simplest, quietest way possible. He wrote down numbers one at a time on a piece of paper. Then he switched to counting with an extra calculator printouts in 1982. Counted over a million, got bored with counting up, went back the other way, and then started counting up again. By the time he got national coverage, he counted 3.7 million. Wow, who's number one? Who's... Wait. Ashrita Furman, world record holder for world records.
What?
Saying records and activities so lame, no one would ever be caught in public trying to beat his numbers.
Yeah, he's got over 700 official.
Fastest mile on a hoppity hop, biggest pencil to sign a name with, and largest hula hoop. Isn't Count David Wimp more boring than that?
I don't think he's boring at all.
To this story.
He's amazing. I like him.
God.
I'm going to write Dustin Koski at top tens and tell him I think that list is fucked up. Hey, Count David Wimp, the Drew and Mike Show. What? What?
Oh, it's crazy. It's probably from the last time we talked.
There's two posts from the Drew and Mike Show.
Because we used it on Best Of. Yeah.
Here we go.
You didn't like it? Okay. I was on the Drew and Mike Show once, twice.
Three times.
And now three times.
Oh, boy.
I like that dude.
There's something really fascinating.
I'm looking at this guy, Ashrita Furman, and oh my God, his records are just ridiculous. Milk bottle balancing on the head.
That's what I hate about Guinness.
Shut up, Furman.
Those aren't records.
The longest, fastest sack race. Oh, we're getting a call.
Ball sack race?
We're getting a call from... Ooh, Walmart's calling back.
Oh boy. What?
Hello?
Maybe they did get disconnected. Hello?
What?
Yellow.
Yeah.
Color yellow.
Oh, balls. What happened?
I don't know.
Maybe they'll call back. And this portion of programming brought to you by Zot Ford, our fabulous sponsor since the very beginning of the Drew and Mike podcast. And they've made an exciting announcement. The newest member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, Mr. Jim Bentley, someone well known to the Drew and Mike show listeners. Yes.
Hi, Jim.
The very hot Jim Bentley joins the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. And they're still doing those locks of the week, locks of the month. I'm sorry. They're destroying Brandon's garbage locks of the week, as
That's
they
crack.
Say. I know. It's terrible. And they will continue to do so now through the end of the year. In case you've been living under a rock, part one gets 0% financing up to 72 months. Part two, no payments for 3 months. And part three, in addition to all the other great stuff, they will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash. Jim Bentley, apparently having a huge impact over there. And you can activate your lock trifecta by calling Jim or Anthony. I don't know, Jim said don't call Anthony. 248-215-5151. Again, the magical trifecta number is 248-215-5151. Hurry, because when the holidays are gone, so is your chance to put $7,000 cash in your pocket from our friends at Zot Ford.
Do it. Get it done.
Let's not leave out Steve Perry.
Oh,
Steve
Perry's on. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. I'd be happy to watch it, though. He was on
Steve
CBS.
Steve Perry.
He was on CBS Good Morning, the old man show on Sunday. And I really haven't seen him interviewed that much. That's what I realized. I was watching. I'm like, wow, he's so much softer than I even thought. And I thought he was soft already.
What was your first impression when you saw his face? Like, you saw the first thing they did was show him singing,
You mean back in the day?
Yeah. And then they cut to now. What was your first impression when you saw his face?
Go ahead.
Not one wrinkle. The guy hasn't had any work done, has he?
Oh.
He looks so fake
look
and phony.
Good. He looks, for 69, he doesn't look 69 years old.
My hair jet black.
Oh, that's true.
That's true, yeah.
Like Gene Simmons.
69. Like Gene Simmons.
It's an intriguing story, though. Why would he not want to be in Journey for all this time? You know, the Journey fan. Well, the Journey fans go anyway.
Because he was hurting, and they weren't sympathetic.
He hurt his hip. They hurt somebody right away. He would have overdosed like Tom Petty.
What time is it? Because I'm hurting.
He might be.
I don't feel good.
He might be the softest musician.
He's really soft.
He looked womanly to me.
Oh, you're right, Trudy. He looks like Katie Lang.
Trudy, I said everything but that. A soft was all I could think of, but you're right. He does look womanly.
Does he look like Katie Lang?
Yeah.
There's a resemblance.
There could be. They could go on tour and you couldn't tell them apart. And he looks like he's wearing lipstick in part of that interview, which was like kind of unnerving.
Well, he looked really femmy in the Journey days.
Oh, get ready.
Really femmy.
He's going to sound really femmy. Oh, look. There's KD. There's Steve Perry.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mark that, Brandon. We got to put that on the website.
Yeah, that should be the picture today.
Pot him up. Listen how soft he is, too. Big fan of Robin Roberts.
Oh,
says a lot, right?
Of course
there.
He is.
Do you feel the love?
I do now.
Do
yes, I do. Yeah.
It is wonderful to see you, and even looking forward to this opportunity, and can't
thank you
enough.
His new record will do nothing.
Thank you so much. I've been looking forward to meeting you too.
Right. Right.
Forever.
How was that thought process like? I mean, you're at the height of your career.
Who is waiting all their life to meet Robin Roberts?
That's
the definition of soft.
I can't imagine that anyone is, really. That's so weird.
To make that decision to step away as you did.
It seems like it was a brilliant thought process, but the truth is I had no choice. I was truly burned out. My emotion and my passion that
soft.
I discovered for music and singing when I was about 6-7 years old.
All you do is play the hits.
I couldn't find it anymore. I was still singing good, but I wasn't connecting with it.
As a result of it,
I kept getting more empty and empty in my heart, and I was getting really worried.
How many ways can a person be soft? I mean, honestly, how many? Check the boxes. Soft heart, soft passion, soft everything. He's so soft.
I kept feeling more empty. Empty in my heart. talks that way?
He's gonna do his play.
My emotion and my passion that I discovered for music and singing when I was about 6-7 years old, I couldn't find it anymore. I was still singing good, but I wasn't connecting with it. And as a result of it, I kept getting more empty and empty in my heart, and I was getting really worried. In fact, it was scaring the hell out of me, to be honest.
Really?
With you.
Scaring
that
you?
Coupled
How
with,
could you be scared?
With the touring schedule and the fatigue and that experience I just explained was too much. I had to stop.
I'm glad that you did that.
Yeah.
You had to
do it. It wasn't popular back then.
Shut the fuck up.
I know.
You're glad.
Why is she?
You don't have any say in it.
I'm glad because I hated Journey.
Why is she glad?
It didn't stop him.
Steve Perry.
She cares about him so much.
Bullshit.
I think if you fell off the Empire State Building and Steve Perry was lying on the ground, you could have a soft landing. I really do. He's that soft.
They pull him out of the fire department. Fire department uses him when people have to jump out of a building.
Get him, Steve Perry.
One guy holding each arm, one guy holding each leg. If you land on Steve Perry, you're fine.
You can carry yourself wasn't
you don't
the
even
thing
bounce.
To do.
But you did
you
it.
Kept rock till you drop was
you
the thing to do.
His heart.
You
know? Uh-huh.
But you're still here.
I'm still here. That's right.
Pussy.
It's not an achievement. Still being here is not an achievement.
They're cheering him for being alive.
What the fuck?
You weren't even writing even during this period of time?
Not at all. I know it's hard to believe, but no writing or singing in the shower, nothing. I had to literally just walk away with it and I guess turn my heart off about to half to keep walking. Because it was too much of a draw to fall back in.
Wait, what did he just say there?
Turned his heart half off.
He turned my heart.
I thought it was empty.
My heart off to about half.
The empty half?
I guess that's so
really,
he could...
Maybe he should be applauded for being alive. It sounds like he's got heart problems.
Sad.
What is going
on with
him?
What the fuck
are
these people talking about?
During this period of time?
Not at all. I know it's hard to believe, but no writing, no singing in the shower, nothing. I had to literally just walk away with it and I guess turn my heart off about to half to keep walking because it was too much of a draw to fall back in. It was a dream come true to be in Journey, you know?
Sure.
And to be in front of all these fans that loved our music.
It's not a dream come true.
It was a dream. So to walk away, I had to turn my heart down.
Okay, but then your heart got turned back up the 2011 Kelly. So I have a friend who's directing a TV show.
Patty Jenkins.
And it was Patty.
Patty Jenkins.
Get a new cushion.
Patty.
One and only Patty Jenkins.
Come on,
Patty.
And then you saw Kelly on screen.
Nice that
no one knows Patty Jenkins. Why are they cheering? No one knows her.
Patty?
Who is she?
I don't know. He saw Patty someone on TV.
Because Robin's wet over it because she recognized the name.
God.
But he sees somebody on TV and he just hits her up like, hey, you want to be my girlfriend?
It's pretty weird.
Happens?
I thought the same
got
thing.
Got turned back up. The 2011 Kelly. So I have a friend who's directing a TV show.
Patty Jenkins.
And it was Patty.
Patty Jenkins.
How are you?
Patty Jenkins.
Oh, my gosh.
Patty.
I didn't know it was Patty. Yeah. And then you saw Kelly on screen.
I saw her on screen on a TV show Patty was directing called Five. It was on my Lifetime Network. And I love editing, so we're hanging out. And I had her stop real quick.
Another soft thing that flies under the radar. He loves editing?
Yeah. What?
Loves editing when it's editing. Not even his TV show.
I have no idea.
Patty Jenkins.
What a weird thing to say.
Patty edits? Is that what he's saying?
I didn't know it was Patty. Yeah. And then you saw Kelly on screen.
I saw her on screen on a TV show Patty was directing called Five. It was on my Lifetime Network. And I love
Lifetime?
Editing,
so he's Lifetime
watching
Network?
Is Lifetime.
What's he watching Lifetime for? Oh my God, how soft can he be?
I know. Isn't he watching the editing of a Lifetime show?
I don't know, but he sounds delighted with Lifetime.
And by the way, Patty is separated at birth with Steve Perry in 1978.
I know, yeah.
She is!
Same haircut. Same haircut.
Oh my God! She's the only female soft enough for him. She looks like him.
You're gonna get Robin all wet again.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
I had her stop.
Ooh, Patty's the
who is that? Is that an actress? She said, no, she's a PhD psychologist named Kelly Nash. She told me her story. I said, well, do you have her email? And Patty knows I don't
who's
do
that
this.
Broad?
She said,
bullshit.
Why? I said, I don't know. There's just something about her. And so we talked
about
it. She said,
off.
I'll send an email, but I should tell you something. First,
softly.
It came back, and she's fighting for her life.
He lit candles.
Who's that broad?
It's the beat
lights,
off.
Light strokes.
barely even grabbing it.
Into no flight.
Just fanning it with a fan. That's how Steve Perry masturbates. He gets an old Chinese fan.
Ellie Nash. She told me her story. I said, "Would you have her email?" Patty knows I don't do this. She said,
"That's
why?" I said, "I don't know. There's just something about her." And so we talked a bit. She said, "I'll send an email, but I should tell you something first." It came back, and she's fighting for her life. It's in her lungs and her bones.
Oh, bummer.
At that moment, I had
an opportunity. At that moment, I thought, great, no commitment.
He's so soft, that appeals to him.
Yeah, you're right. It probably turns him on more.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean,
opportunity, no harm, no foul. Nobody needs to know nothing. I'd lost my parents. I'm an only child. I'd walked away from a big career. Enough already, I thought. I don't need to go.
How much softness can there be? An only child?
Something happened to me when I saw her. So I said, send the email. And I waited on pins and needles, and we finally talked and went to dinner. We were inseparable.
And it was a friendship
that blossomed.
It was inseparable. Yeah. It was more than love. It was a connection. It was something new for me. I never experienced the word connection before, or the feeling, you know, honestly. It was new.
Well, we hear it 60. In your new music, and yeah. I want to play a little bit of it for you.
Fuck?
Call on me.
Yeah.
Call on me.
Oh, she's in this.
I know. This
she's
is
in the tail of it. Yeah,
yeah, let's listen to it right now.
Sucks.
Pussy.
You're listening to nothing but the best of oldies. You're listening to
Patrick 98.5. I can't hear his voice. It's so soft.
On one of my hard drives, I was messing with her one day, put headphones on her. I was just joking with her, and I got her
laughing.
My favorite thing to do is to get her laughing. If I can get her laughing.
Do you wonder what he said to get her to laugh?
That's an intriguing question.
I wonder if she was laughing and how soft he was.
And she'd get to the point where her mouth was opening, she's catching her breath, and nothing's coming out. And I'm kind of a ham for that, so I couldn't stop, you know.
It's beautiful.
But the record, by the way, is full of all sorts of songs. It isn't just about loss.
Yeah, forget about my dead girl.
It's about rock and roll. It's about reunions, going to high school reunions. Some of you are old enough soon to be in a high school reunion.
That's what we love about you.
Yeah.
It's just a mix like that.
Yeah.
And what was the promise that Kelly made you make about returning to
stopping so soft.
She was having a hard time, and my favorite time was in the evenings when we would turn off the lights and give each other a smooch and then talk each other to sleep. One would do the other.
She said he's a pussy.
Who fell asleep first.
What?
She says, "Honey, I need to ask you to make a promise." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "I want you to promise if something was to ever happen to me that you won't go back into isolation, for I feel it would make this all for naught."
She knows how soft he
and,
is.
You know, that was the biggest statement. Of course I said I promised, but I want to make clear, it wasn't like we weren't living our lives and going places and doing things. She knew I wasn't singing in the shower. I wasn't writing music. I wasn't doing any shit at all.
Who fucking cares?
That's what she was talking about.
Yeah. We're so glad that you're doing that.
Well, and she's gone.
Could you
so
make
you
a promise
to do
next
you're
time
doing
that you're
going to
sing
it.
For us?
Okay.
Is he gonna sing?
For you, I'd
no.
do that.
Oh,
why not?
Pussy.
I was gonna sing in the shower.
Christmas is out now. Don't walk, run and get it.
Oh, fuck off.
Tonight, it's always the most.
I'd love to watch that guy speak.
Isn't it amazing how they always act like, "Well, you're gonna do our song," and it, "Oh, what? Oh my God!" And the whole people, everybody in the
he
audience,
won't
like,
sing though. That's what's crazy.
He wouldn't do a song for Robin.
I don't think so.
I just thought I always thought that he left Journey because he couldn't hit those high notes.
I kind of wondered too. Yeah. In fact, I read the Journey book. And they said all those songs are written in a very, very high notes, and it's very difficult for anyone his age.
Just start in a low register.
Well, they could.
Just a
they could tune
time.
Him down a little bit.
So really, probably what they were saying was like, "Hey, Steve, you got to like get out of the way for the next
who's that dude?
Vocalist who can hit the high notes."
Yeah, Arnell.
And he's so soft that he.
I thought Robin was implying he was going to actually sing.
No, she That's said it. Next time, as if it's going to be a next time.
Okay.
Pussy.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert.
What a terrible interview.
What's the new... wait, don't tell me.
What?
Oh, no, it's another Steve Perry.
I don't care for that guy.
Me neither. Too soft.
It's too soft, apparently, to make Google Play. I don't see it on here.
What, the new one?
Yeah. I see Sherry. One of the softest hits ever.
God.
Remember the video? That stupid video I'm sitting on the stairs? Well, it could have been gone.
Horrible.
Is the album not
on? Bring up the O'Sherry video, Brandon.
It's a love song. It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know it was a movie, too. Jesus.
Great acoustics.
Made you feel, and I should have been gone. After all your
pussy.
You like singing a cappella.
Should have been gone.
Oh, I must have been a dreamer.
God, 80s production is the worst thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like this. What a voice.
Sherry looks like this girl, the girl with cancer he fell in love with, doesn't she a little bit?
Wow.
Oh.
Huh. Who probably looks like him too? By electricity. Right?
You know what Steve Perry's favorite part of this video is?
Himself?
When they edited it.
Uh-oh.
Love that part. He remembers.
Of course.
He's obsessed with not singing in the shower.
I know. I think he's really singing in the shower.
God, he looks like somebody there. Who the hell does he look like? Somebody who's young now? Maybe it's the girl I just saw. I don't know. This was a giant hit.
Yeah.
Remember, this video was on all the time. At the time, the theory was that Steve Perry was going to have a gigantic hearing and Journey was going to fall apart.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you lose your singer, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But.
And thank God Steve Aguirre was available.
Not the case.
Do you want to hear one of the new songs?
No.
Come on.
I don't know. If you can pick out a real soft one.
Well, oh my God. Listen to these titles and you tell me which one is the softest. No Erasing. We're Still Here. Most of all. No more crying in the rain. Sunshine's gray. You belong to me. Easy to love. I need you. And we fly. I think easy to love.
Easy
might
to love. That sounds really soft. Although no more crying.
That's a great name.
Yeah, but that sounds like someone's
sucking
it up.
That's not very soft for him. Yeah, yeah, that's doing something he's not comfortable with.
Ugh, horrible.
Is this easy loving?
Easy.
I don't suppose
love.
You belong to me is an Elvis Costello cover.
That would break him.
It would. You're right.
Couldn't sing anything that hard.
Been thinking about the love we had.
That's soft. That's pretty soft.
For so long.
Quiet.
That sounds like Steve Perry, old Steve Perry.
You've been here by my side. Yeah.
And this portion of programming brought to you by our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. And they are sharing their love for you by giving you the gift of employee pricing for everyone on most 2019 models in stock. You can lease a 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition for just $198 a month. If it's Jeeps you love, lease the new 20 Jeep Cherokee Limited All-Wheel Drive for just $189 a month. And if you're like listener Alan and you want to roll in the Mac Daddy of Jeeps, lease a 20 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $255 a month. Go celebrate the holidays with employee pricing for everyone. No discount code needed. Only at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. Oh, come on, Louise.
I really want to see you. Really want to be with you.
Hello.
Hi, Louise.
Yes.
Louise, this is the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit in the States. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Great. We heard you were talking about George coming to America, and we were doing a show on George Harrison today, so we were really excited to hear about that. A caller brought it up, actually. But I had no idea George was in America before the rest of the band. Do you have a minute to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Great.
Cool. Well,
you lived in America, didn't you, when he came over?
Yeah, I moved here in March of 63.
Okay, and so George came to visit?
In September. But in the meantime, I've been writing to, what's his name, Brian Epstein, and George Martin, and all of those guys, trying to explain to them how the American business, music business worked. Oh. And I was trying to get them to, get the guys onto a bigger record company because they were just on VJ and that wasn't really doing much. I realized that, you know, you had to have plenty of clout in order to get records played on the radio in those days. You know, I think there was a lot of money changed hands for that.
So long story.
Well, oh my God, you...
Yeah.
That's really something. You know what's so neat, though, is that George would give you the assignment of seeking out a better record deal for them. I mean, that's...
No, he didn't give me the assignment. Oh, he didn't know anything about it.
Oh, you just did it on your own?
Yeah, I just wanted my kid brother to do okay, you know.
Wow, that's really nice. Well, I know you've appeared at a lot of Beatle Fests and such, and I just thought how nice that George liked having you tell the Beatles story when maybe he couldn't be there.
Yeah. Well, I've always, the same as my mom and dad, when the whole thing first started happening, they were getting hundreds and hundreds of fan letters every day, and they were sitting down in the evening and answering them. And so they probably answered hundreds of thousands of fan letters. In fact, to this very day, I often find somebody who'll say to me, I had a letter from your mom, and I've now got it plasticized.
Oh, plasticized.
Carrying it around in their pockets, you know. They've had a plastic cover come on it, you know.
Wow.
So, what was on it?
So, you know, mom and dad were kind of like
Yeah.
They were the global mom and dad, right, first off.
How about that? I mean, what was it like to see? I mean, when they were on Ed Sullivan, February 9th, 1964, I mean, very few people have ever seen that kind of fame anywhere. I mean, just being in the family, it must have been insane. I can't even imagine how difficult it must have been to even stay in touch with George.
That was okay till close to the end. You know, I was always able to get in touch with him. In fact, he would call me every time he had his phone number changed.
Oh,
I
see.
He was getting it changed all the time, you know, for just to keep his security. And so he would call me up when he had a new number, you know, every once in a while. I could stay in touch.
And then did you have to call George to see if it was okay to do stuff like Beatle-related stuff? Because you did a lot of Beatles stuff, and I'm sure you probably got George involved in that.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that there was any way that I should ask his permission, because I hadn't done all the work in 1963, they probably would never have come over here anyway.
Did they ever thank you for all that, for setting the groundwork?
No, they didn't really realize. Oh. In fact, you know, it was funny, I had my book, and I said a couple of years ago, I ran into Paul at one of his concerts.
Oh, how'd that? I mean, just by...
I gave him a copy of my book, and it's called My Kid Brother's Band.
Which garbage can of that anyway?
And he looked at me and he says, "Your Kid Brother's Band?"
Wow.
Because the thing was...
Thank God you had that book when you ran into him to give to him.
And then he said, "Thank you."
Yeah.
Well, you're out of here, Trent.
Not really, but
do you think he read it? Do you think you read the book?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
The thing was that when I was going around with the records trying to get somebody to play them, there was no point in saying the Beatles, because back in 1963, if I'd have said the word Beatles, they would immediately thought of little creepy crawly things.
Yeah.
Or the crickets,
maybe.
So I was
just calling it My Kid Brother's Band.
Wow. Now, when is the world going to find out that, because I didn't even know this, I'm a huge Beatles fan, I didn't know that you had greased the skids for the Beatles in America. When are we all going to, when's everybody going to know about it?
Nobody really knows about it very much.
That's terrible. I mean, you deserve a cut.
Well, yeah, that would have been nice. Actually, my brother did give me a pension when I was about 60, but that got canceled when he died.
Oh, why?
What? Wait, I read something that you were living in very difficult circumstances, and I thought, that can't be true. George Harrison would not allow his sister to live in difficult circumstances, but that is the fact?
Yeah.
Wow. And the pension is you were a lifelong employee of the Beatles?
Well, I was supposed to, it wasn't anything official. You know, that he did. He just said to his accountant, send my sister a couple of $1,000 every month and make sure you pay the taxes on it. So that was how it went.
That was nice.
And it wasn't until after he died that it was canceled.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, I just have the feeling. What about Olivia? Is she going to fix that? His wife?
She was the one that did it.
Oh,
my.
What about Danny? Do you ever get to see Danny?
I've never seen him in years, no. Now, you know, the whole thing is, okay, the way I look at it is this.
Why don't you grease the skids for Danny's career?
If she needed the money that badly, let her have it. You know. I'm a resourceful person. I'm 86 now. I've been working with my band for the last few years and bringing in a bit extra money to live on. But now I'm down to just being on my Social Security. But I've made it so that I have enough money to live on, even with the Social Security. You know, I bought a piece of land and I bought a couple of houses on it.
Yeah.
And they're all paid for. So, you know, I mean, okay.
Well, now you said 86 years old and you said your band. Did you just start a band, the Beatlettes or something?
Oh, no, I did. That was 10 years ago.
Oh, how's the band? Cool. How's the band doing? I'm not familiar with your band.
Oh, they were called Liverpool Legends. They've got a website if you want to look it up.
Do you guys play in Branson?
We play in Branson, yeah. But we also have played in, Santiago, Mexico City, Liverpool, all over the place.
Wait, I thought you said my band. I'm just looking at a picture. I don't see your picture in the band.
Well,
it looks like a bunch of guys.
Skids for them.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming. See. Are you their manager?
Well, officially, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
No, they resemble the Beatles. Is that a coincidence?
Yeah.
Great gentlemen. And they sound exactly like them. In fact, one day some woman almost assaulted me because she was in the theater when we were doing our show. And I had a little intro. I had like a video intro that I do to the show.
Are you okay?
And I said, everything that you hear tonight will be live and be, you know, real. Mm-hmm. There's no overdubbing or anything like that. And this woman comes shooting out into the lobby and came running up to me with a real fierce, and she was saying, "You were lying." And I said, "I beg your pardon." She said, "I listen to the Beatles every single day, and you're playing Beatle records." And she slammed out of the door.
Oh, people are crazy.
Wow.
Now, Beatlemania 27, circa 2017.
Yeah.
You did A&R for the Beatles and for Liverpool Legends. Did you ever do, did you represent any other artists?
No. Now, this is the band.
You would think after breaking the Beatles here that you'd get hired by a label.
But she didn't get credit for breaking the Beatles. That's the crime.
Nobody really knew about that.
Wow.
Did you ever know the other three?
Oh, yes. I met them lots of times.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw John?
Heck, I don't know. He's been dead since 1980.
Well, I know, but you would think about the last time you saw him. I was just wondering.
I don't remember now.
Do you talk to Ringo at all?
Was it when he was clean cut, or did he have a lot of hair?
Don't go down this path.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Did he smell?
Like that.
Damn it.
Did he smell?
No, he didn't smell. I'll answer that question.
I think he did.
No, he did not.
Did any of the Beatles smell?
No, they did not.
Side stroke.
I'm sorry, Louise. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Great, yeah. Have you talked to Ringo at all? Ringo's, he's very active.
The whole thing is, I never made it a practice. They were being so sought after and mobbed and everything all the time that I only ever saw them just when I happened to be in the same vicinity for a functional reason. I made it a practice not to even bother to connect with the others because I didn't want them. You know, they needed less people running after them rather than more.
Well, that's just sad because you having broken the band and essentially being responsible for their success, you'd think maybe there'd be a thank you, but I guess they don't. They still
well,
don't
they didn't
know.
Realize, you know, it all happened. So and it was so hectic.
Yeah.
That, and I never ever took the time to tell them about that. I mean, I did. Brian Epstein knew because he was even writing to me and asking me if I would get some of his other bands. He said, "I'm going to take the liberty of sending you some records by Billy J. Kramer and Jerry and the Pacemakers and all those, you know, because he was anxious to get all of his bands going, you know."
Yeah, the old Mercy Beat, I believe they called it.
Did you ever meet Patty Boyd?
Oh, yeah, she was my sister-in-law.
Ah, yes. Did you, you didn't happen to watch the Eric Clapton documentary, did you?
No.
It was all about George and Patty and Eric. I mean, that was all very complicated, I'm sure. Were you in the middle of that at all?
Not really.
No, okay.
Did you ever meet Eric Clapton?
I never thrust myself into the middle of things.
Well, it's just that you represented the band in so many ways since the band split up at all these conventions, and I thought that was really neat that someone could break their silence and tell the story, because it's really barely anybody knows about it, and you were on the inside, and here you're responsible for their career, and nobody even knows it, which is
insane. What about the Wilburys? The Traveling Wilburys? Did you grease their skids?
No. They were already, you know, by the time the Beatles are over and the Wilburys are coming, you know, they had all the, what would you say, knowledge about them. They didn't need any more publicity.
Well, I don't know. Nobody knew that name, the Traveling Wilburys. They didn't know who the five people were.
Yeah, and George was Nelson Wilbury. Some people didn't even know that was George Harrison. They couldn't
I had
use
no
your
idea
help.
Until, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Liverpool Legends, what's their, when's their next gig?
Gee, I don't know. You'd have to look up their
manager. I thought it was your band.
Pardon?
I thought it was your band.
Yeah, but I don't keep in contact with what they're doing all the time anymore. I used to, you know, but now that I'm 86 and I'm, you know, my body's kind of wearing out a little bit, I'm not doing so much running around anymore, you know.
Just work for phones.
Now, what about Beatle conventions in Chicago? Of course, they're such a big thing. Would you possibly appear there again to help tell the story?
Well, maybe if they ask me. But I've been, the last couple of times I've been taking my grandson with me, Troy, he's 27, and he's just a spit image of George. And so all the fans, you know, when I take my grandson with me and, you know, say, hey, you know, this is Tori and he's George's great nephew, and people say, oh, it's like having George young and alive again.
Yeah, it is amazing, the resemblance of Danny Harrison.
Sounds like he...
Incredible, and I'll have to look up your grandson. Does he play music, too?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. Well,
years ago, he realized, you know, how he'd be putting himself... Pardon me.
Bless you.
He'd be putting himself into a bad position if he started to play the guitar. You know, he realized, even when he was 8 years old, when people were saying to him, oh, you're George Harrison, the nephew, do you play guitar and everything? And he realized then how much of a disaster that would be for his life. Because it's the same thing, that's what happened to Danny. You know, he's been forced into being a guitarist. He's not even a very good one, you know.
Oh,
poor kid. Whoa. You know, he doesn't even like doing it.
Wait.
Oh, he told you that? Wow.
I'm surprised you don't like the way Danny plays guitar. That sounded like kind of a shot.
Well, I haven't really heard him. I've just heard from other people.
Oh, okay.
I do have good news on the Liverpool Legends. They will be in Michigan May 10th at the Tulip Time Festival in Holland, Michigan.
Okay.
Sounds nice.
Okay.
So for our listeners, you can see the Liverpool Legends and know that Louise Harrison is getting her 15%, which makes everybody feel good since Olivia...
What makes you think I get 15%?
Well, you're their manager.
You're their manager, I thought.
Oh, well, we never ever made it, you know, what's the word, legal. Oh, I was just called the manager, you know. Oh. I was more like
Who's doing
mom.
All their booking?
I can't believe the economy would come to... The economy would come to a virtual stop without Louise Harrison's work, and yet no one knows this. No one knows. She brought the Beatles here. No one knows about the Liverpool Legends. I think you need an attorney or somebody of your own to look after these things, Louise.
Well, you know, I'm more interested in having good friends and looking after the people around me that I love rather than having a lot of money.
I understand.
Louise, do you listen to the Beatles every day? Like, is that...
No.
Do you listen to Liverpool Legends every day?
Not anymore, no.
What are your favorite Beatles songs?
I've got so many of them. But I've when people ask me about Beatles music, I usually tell them that I think the most important Beatles song was Imagine.
Oh, that's a John Lennon song, though. That's not a Beatles song.
You know, that was so important, the words of that song. You know, imagine all the people... You know, sharing all the world and all that kind of stuff.
Okay,
I mean, it was such a wonderful thought.
What's your favorite song that your brother did?
Cheer Down.
Oh, Cheer Down. I love Cheer Down. Now, that's a song not many people know.
I know.
It's from the movie South Pacific, I believe, because George did a lot with movies that I'm not sure people are aware of. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll play Cheer Down for you, and you have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for your time on this this special show on George Harrison and family.
Okay.
And we will be we'll be at the Tulip Festival to see the Liverpool Legends, and we'll be thinking of you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Louise.
Bye. Okay,
bye.
See you.
Bye.
By your grin that you're trembling within, it's all over town. Cheer down.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Even without getting a rash, there's no tears to be shed. Love you instead.
Ow!
I want you around. Cheer down.
Reminds me of the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, it does. I love the slide plan.
Like,
I'm
Louise
Harrison.
Faded it with the song.
Most of you have probably heard of my kid brother George. Back in the 60s, he was in a pretty famous band. They were called the Beatles. Liverpool Legends are the closest you will ever get to hearing and seeing the real Beatles.
Really? I think a Paul
Liverpool
McCartney
Legends
show might be a little better.
The best reproduction I have ever seen. And I should know, since I handpicked these lads myself.
Fake!
Nominated for a Grammy in 2012, Liverpool Legends, performing songs spanning the entire career of the Beatles and the solo years that followed. Liverpool Legends recreates the Fab Four with precise attention to every musical detail, combined with authentic costumes, vintage instruments.
Ringo's nose is way too big.
Liverpool Legends will make you feel like you're watching the real
thing.
Okay, cool.
Then why don't they give Louise her cut?
Exactly the kind of fun-loving, quality musicians that my brother George would have loved to hang out with. Liverpool Legends uses no pre-recorded tapes or tracks, and no...
Shut up and show your breath.
Not according to the lady that listens to the Beatles every day.
Don't miss Liverpool Legends' recreation of the band that changed the face of music forever.
Promo is way
Call
too long.
817-893-0464 now for more information.
Is that for the... That's just the general
That's
ad.
That's just the general
other shows. Okay.
That Louise got $30 for.
Cheer Down, by the way. That does sound so much like the Wilburys. It also reminds me of I Got My Mind Set on You.
Yeah, I heard that.
Cloud Nine, right before the Wilburys. Cloud Nine, the Wilburys were both fantastic. Oh, they're both Wilburys, though. And Jeff Lynne did produce Cheer Down. You can hear Jeff. Can't you just hear Jeff Lynne?
Definitely.
Song?
Yeah, that song kind of sounded like End of the Line. Yep, definitely.
Yeah, it does.